Welcome to Why Is This Good, a podcast by the Naples Writers Workshop. I'm Christine and I'm here with John. Hey, John.
Hello.
Okay, it's your turn. Tell us what you picked.
I picked a story called Civil Peace by Chinua Achebe. Jonathan Iwegbu counted himself extraordinarily lucky. Happy survival meant so much more to him than just a current fashion of greeting old friends in the first hazy days of peace. It went deep to his heart. He had come out of the war with five inestimable blessings: his head, his wife Maria's head, and the heads of three out of their four children. As a bonus, he also had his old bicycle. A miracle, too, but naturally not to be compared to the safety of five human heads. The bicycle had a little history of its own. One day, at the height of the war, it was commandeered for urgent military action. Hard as its loss would have been to him, he would still have let it go without a thought had he not had some doubts about the genuineness of the officer. It wasn't his disreputable rags, nor the toes peeping out of one blue and one brown canvas shoes, nor yet the two stars of his rank done obviously in a hurry in Biro that troubled Jonathan. Many good and heroic soldiers looked the same or worse. It was rather a certain lack of grip and firmness in his manner. So Jonathan, suspecting he might be amenable to influence, rummaged in his raffia bag and produced the 2 pounds with which he had been going to buy firewood, which his wife, Maria, retailed to camp officials for extra stockfish and cornmeal, and got his bicycle back. That night, he buried it in the little clearing in the bush where the dead of the camp, including his own youngest son, were buried. When he dug it up again a year later, after the surrender, all it needed was a little palm oil greasing. Nothing puzzles God, he said in wonder.
All right, so what'd you think of it?
I liked it. It's short, and it's an own voice kind of story, which I like,
Would you call it an old voice?
own like own
Owned, like
voice,
your own.
your own voice, like a Nigerian writing about Nigeria, right?
Yeah, it felt to me, and I know this is wrong, but I've been thinking about it now for 2 days, and I'm like, I don't have a better way to describe it, but it feels almost like a fable, sort of. It's a story with a lesson, like a direct lesson, it seems.
Oh yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like the tortoise and the hare, like slow and steady or something like that. You don't have to like think about it, but the refrain that you ended on there where it says, nothing puzzles God, that might be how they say it in Nigeria, but something here would be similar to not necessarily that God works in mysterious ways, but something like that, right? The idea
Yeah.
that what puzzles us does not puzzle God. It's intentional somehow. That's their belief, and that's what gives them solace in moments of horrible tragedy. So it's a refrain here because, like at the beginning, he's talking about like all the shit he went through with the war, and now the war is over and it's not gonna let up. It's not like things are just better. So he talks about a couple of the struggles that he's had, the main one being that he gets this money from the government and he knows he's got to be careful with it, but it's immediately taken. And when everyone says, oh, are you sad about that? He's like, oh, God works in mysterious ways. And he seems to truly believe it. And it doesn't seem to really waver for him. That's why it feels like a fable in a sense. He seems so even keeled throughout all of this. He talks about, most of my family survived, which is great. And
Yeah.
I think like another attitude would be, much more negative. We almost all made it. Or, I'm really upset about my son when my neighbor, all of his family lived. But then he compares his own situation in a lot of different ways. He talks about,
He still has a house.
yeah, he stalls a house. He was able to like replace like the windows and doors or whatever. Like he had the foresight to like bury his bike and then like get it back. So he had a
Yeah.
little business ready to go. He's just like got that unflappable positivity, which we've talked at least in the workshop about this. Sometimes stories that are so positive don't feel like stories.
Oh,
Sometimes
yeah.
stories that are so happy or that end on such a high note don't feel not just less literary, but they just don't feel like it's kind of like, why would you write a story if there isn't some sort of return from sadness, Aren't stories like stories about when something changes, Like you talk about like articles in a newspaper. It's like you wouldn't write an article saying like government worked well today. And not because it's a positive story, but
Yeah.
because if it's business as usual, it's business as usual. What's news
It's not
about it?
news. What is
Right.
news?
Yeah.
Something
So
new.
what's yeah, so what's worthy about it? So it could be business, government went well today. That could be news.
It could be.
Yeah, that's a terrible example. But in a situation like this, it's kind of like, he went through horrific stuff. And in a different writer's hands, this might be a story about like overcoming the horrors of this war and how he went from like the lowest point in his life to the highest point. But he maintains throughout, and we don't see him in fairness going through war. We see him only after the fact. But at least after the fact, he's maintaining just this like air of positivity. And it all goes back to this refrain. And that's why I think it like reads almost like a fable, because we're reading it for our own benefit. We're not reading it because he had to learn this lesson. He knows it. He's known it the whole time. And for him, going through this just reinforced it. It just proved the point. So it's like he's sharing it because he's like, no, like nothing puzzles God. Nothing ever has. And yes, I've gone through some horrible things, but I knew that they would be this way. And I also know that like there are good things to come that I can't know.
The thing that I noticed in here was like the first little vignette about the bicycle is he's giving away the money, right? It's like the money is not important. And then he gets money from like as a payout, the egg rasher, he calls it. And then the whole end of this thing is about these thieves who are like, give us all your money. And he's like, I'll just give you all the money I have. I don't have as much as you think I do. And then that's what saves him. It's just giving away money. Like not trying to keep the money is what kept him alive, right? Or kept him safer or whatever, kept his bike, kept his house from being ransacked, kept, all these things. That creates a story structure because you have different scenes in which that kind of theme is going on. So you have the bicycle thing, you have the whole thing with the thieves at the end, and then the whole thing with him driving the taxi and like how he's kind of making it with that. It's all these relationships with money, and that gives it a structure which makes it a story, right? So even if it's not fully about him as a character changing, it's exploring that relationship with cash, kind of.
So that's a good point. It's not just like him looking at all random tragedies in his life. Like these are directly related to, in the aftermath of the war, the money issue.
Yeah, I'm sure like he could have told the story of how his youngest son died,
Yes, but it's
but
not
he
about
didn't.
that.
It wasn't about that. Yeah.
It's very much about the money, how he uses it, and how it like leaves him and comes back to him.
And how it's affecting everybody, because it's not just him. It's like it's creating these situations that he's n navigating.
And he feels like when the money leaves him, he knows that it might mean that things are going to be difficult, but he doesn't despair the way other people
No.
are. And it's because he's got this attitude, and I would argue he's got experience to show for it.
His experience is the money makes things worse.
Well, that too. But in his experience, like money leaves him and money comes back to him.
Yeah, that's right.
And he doesn't necessarily always know how, but it's like his unwavering faith in that idea.
It is very short.
And that's part of why it was easier for me to call it something like a fable, because it doesn't exist to do much more than what it's doing right here. I'm not
Yeah.
supposed to think about what's going to happen next for Jonathan or dwell too much on what happened to his son.
It's like a glimpse. It's a glimpse into this like situation.
Which, by all other accounts, like you said, this is like a your own voice story. Like by all other accounts, like especially Americans would be writing this in a way that was like, oh my God, woe is Jonathan. What a terrible situation. Like the hits keep coming. And it's a glimpse at a guy that's, found religion or whatever else to help him get through these horrible things. And by his accounts, it's working, right? Like he remains eternally optimistic and can point to all of these repeating circumstances in his life that prove, you're positive about it and things come back to you.
If we think of like Faulkner's thing about stories being about human beings and what it means to be human, this is a great glimpse into that. Like human beings, they're just existing. They're doing what they need to do to make it. And there's some that like the thieves at the end who fall in one way, and there's some like Jonathan who go in a different way. And it's just a portrait of humanity. It's very specified in a particular location and conflict, but it is universal as well.
I'm trying to think if we've had other stories on the podcast where there is a repeating refrain like this, a line that.
Like a leitmotif.
Is that what they call it?
That's a musical term, but
Well, it's an example of that in music.
like a motif is just like a little phrase in the melody. It identifies a character, so like in an opera or something. Like every time so and so walks out on stage, they get so and so's theme. They do that in movies, like Star Wars or something, do that Leia's theme.
It would be like, like Kurt Vonnegut's like, so it goes. It's like that. I think there's something really interesting about having a line like that, that maybe most readers would think they need to save and use once. But there's something where you can save it and use it once, and maybe it's powerful, or maybe it gets missed. And there's something really cool about using it repeatedly. And he doesn't use it so frequently that it's like,
It's like three times or something like that.
yeah, it's only three times, but like for the length of the story, it's an obvious point. Like it ends on it, and there's one in the middle, and then there's one at this like first kind of third of the book where it kind of like where you stopped reading, I think, like kind of sets off the tone for the rest of the piece. He's talking about how he digs the bike up and he just has to put a little grease into it, and he's saying like, wow, nothing puzzles God. He's like, ah, look, ah, there it is. I don't know, I think it's a cool idea to maybe play with, especially in a short story. If you really like a line, and if it's that's why I'm trying to struggle with, I'm struggling with like other examples of it, because I think the examples would really matter. In like Slaughterhouse-Five, he literally says that 1,000 times. And it doesn't feel overwrought though, because the whole premise of saying it, like, so it goes, so it goes, so it goes. I mean, it has that attitude of, it's like a, it's not dismissive. It's just kind of like, that's, this is how this character thinks of all these things. This is how this character gets through all this hardship, just by like letting it roll off their back. So it goes. In the same way this says it, nothing puzzles God, nothing puzzles God, nothing puzzles God.
Yeah, I like that it's attached to him as a character. And like, if we think of it as a leitmotif, then it is attached to a character, right? It is a thing that the character thinks, the character says, which identifies them, right? So it's kind of like defining. And you could have a story where each character has their own like kind of phrase or kind of thing that defines them.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to say about this, except like I said, maybe like my takeaway would probably be, it's so short and it's so specific, but I think what works about it is that there's a lesson. You know, if a character in your story is going to be stagnant, then like make it apparent that we're supposed to learn something from them. If your character already has it figured out, like this guy, you know, then what is it that we're supposed to pick up from them? And nothing makes it more obvious than this refrain. And kind of absent of a refrain, to your point, you can link this repeating sentence or line or whatever to a particular character in a story, and like kind of drive it home. I like that idea, because I feel like I said earlier, sometimes we think we have a really good line, whether it's dialogue or whatever, but we say it once, and there's probably something equally as powerful if you figure out a good way to repeat it throughout.
Yeah, I was just writing. I'm diving back into my novel, and I was trying to figure out how to get into the next chapter. And I decided that I was going to repeat word for word like the opening of a section that happened in chapter one, because I was like, I think thematically it works.
That's cool.
And obviously, the sentence begins in the same way, but then ends in a different way because it's a
Right.
new situation. But I was like, I think this will get me going, and it
That's
worked.
pretty
It worked
cool.
as far as writing, and I hope
Yeah.
it'll live to the last draft.
Yeah.
I like that repetition, just like to kind of like, because it's kind of a way to signal that like this is what the story is about. This is what
Yes.
we're exploring here, which
Right. Yeah.
is kind of along the way of my takeaway, except I wasn't attaching it to that leitmotif refrain. My takeaway is this, because every scene is about money and how he's like giving away money in order to save his life,
Right.
and like his relationship with that money and how easy come, easy go kind of feeling about it. And it doesn't really matter. What matters is five heads, five human heads, right? Which,
Right.
by the way, what a way to phrase that.
Oh, I had to read it three times. I was like, are we, we're happy we held on to the skulls? Like, what?
I was just thinking, like, are they beheading people? You know, like,
Yeah, I had no clue.
so my takeaway is making each scene, each kind of like moment in the story, each like thematic unit, if you will, kind of
Right.
an exploration of that same idea of like how money is meaningless. Like, you try to get it, but you can give it away. Like, just the way
Right.
he interacts with it, it's kind of showing us in different moments how he does that. Like, that's a way to structure a story.
Yeah.
That's a way to, what we talked about in a recent episode about like Aristotle's thing about, you know, you have to choose the moments to make a story. Like, a life is not a story. You have to arrange life into a story by removing some things and keeping
Right.
others. And what you keep can be guided by that kind of idea. Like, I'm going to write a story in which like the character deals with X, and like that becomes the theme of the story.
I was gonna say, we talked about it too with like the eating chicken wings story.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was a great example. Yeah.
And I think it's, these are both of our takeaways are like, they make for good exercise. You know, you could mimic this exact structure by saying, write a 1500 word story in which you repeat a refrain and center each scene around one particular unifying theme.
Yeah.
It could even be money.
Chicken wings.
Money or chicken wings. You have two options. And I'm sure you could do something that, like, you know, the point of the exercise is just that to get you writing, but I'm sure you could come up with something that you were really excited about in part of that.
A lot of stories are just that. They didn't literally sit down with that as their prompt, but they wound up in that place, right?
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
If you enjoyed this episode, consider joining our Patreon. Your support helps us keep the show running. Find out more at patreon.com/whyisthisgoodpodcast. And for industry news, writing tips, and great short fiction, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Naples Writers Workshop. You can also subscribe to our monthly newsletter at napleswritersworkshop.com.